Good morning. It is wonderful to once again be gathered in our Father's house to hear from him, to receive from him, and to return praise and thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. Today we gather here as people who truly don't deserve to be here. I mean, there's nothing we can point to in our lives that says, this is why God called me. We can only point to God and say, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy, he has called us to be his children, to bring us into his family, and to bless us with his incredible grace. And so as we gather here today, let us remember the day that we received that grace from him in our baptisms, as we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Oh Lord Jesus, you are our King, and I pray that we would live each day following your leadership, following you lead every single day where you want us to go. Help us this day to listen to your words of truth. In your name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Is that on? Yeah. Okay. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. Today's first reading is Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son of your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your affected ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people and the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mowed lawn, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from the sea to the sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him, for he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for the precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound and throughout the land. On the tops of the hill may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
And how are we doing today? Excellent. All right. Hey, look, I have a bunch of invitations here. I don't have that many, though. But we want to invite people to come and be part of us. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it would be really good to have invitations. But since I don't have that many invitations, you know what we should do? We probably should find the most deserving people that we can give these invitations to, right? So let's see. What kind of people do you think we should invite? What do you think? What do you think? You would think we ought to invite Jesus? Would he be very deserving? Yes, he would. I think he's here, though. Right? So what are we? Who are we going to invite? Well, yeah. But he's here too, right? So who are we going to invite? Like a new person, somebody who we haven't seen before? All right, so here's the thing. Do we want to find people who are really, really nice? Yeah. Yeah, we probably want to find people who are really, really nice. Do we want to find people who, like, do the stuff that God wants us to do? Yeah. Yeah. And do we want to find people who don't do the stuff we're not supposed to do? No. Right? That if God says don't do that, they don't do that. Is that what we're looking for? Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's the question I have for you, though. How do we do it all that? Are we very good at doing the things God tells us to do? No. Not as much, right? Like God tells us, we're always supposed to obey our parents. Who does that? Always obey your parents. Always? Always. Okay, how about this? I know, I'm just putting it up for an example. Okay, how about this? Who here never does things that God says you shouldn't do? Like never gets mad at your brother, never hits, never yells, never gets angry?
Not me.
Really? Yeah. I got the same problem. It's a thing. So here's the thing. Why are we invited to church? Yeah, we come because we know that Jesus is with us. We know we come because we know that even though we don't deserve to be his children, has he adopted us? Yeah. And even though we don't deserve to be forgiven, has he forgiven us? Yeah. And even though we don't deserve to be loved, does he love us? And so even though there's nothing about us that makes us like worthy, makes us like deserve Jesus's love, does he love us and forgive us and give us everything that we need for our lives? So here's the thing. If we are going to give out invitations, who should we give them to? Should we just give them to really good people?
Yeah.
Or should we give them to everybody? Because who does God love?
Everybody.
Who did Jesus die for?
Everybody.
Who does Jesus want to make sure he receives his forgiveness? And so, wouldn't it be better to just invite everybody that we possibly can to come and be a part of us and to be part of God's family? Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much and for giving us even when we don't deserve it. Help us, Lord, share your love. So other people can know it too. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody, you can line up at the cross. As long as it's okay with your parents, you can go to a little worship. Ouch. I'm telling you what, I'm feeling old lately. My knee gets stiff. My back gets stiff. What's up with that? All right, here's the thing. Guys, listen. Today we're talking about the wise men. And, you know, there's a lot we don't know about them. We don't know exactly where they're from. We don't know how many there were. We don't know if they were kings or just like, we don't even know if they were like wild, incredibly smart academics. We just know that these were some guys that were looking at the stars. And they derived meaning from the stars, which means they were astrologers of some kind. And God spoke to them in their own language. You know what I'm saying? I mean, does God promise that he will speak through stars? Does he tell us in Scripture, look to the stars and I will tell you my plans? He doesn't say that. So why did this work? I mean, why was the birth of Jesus foretold in the stars, in the language, in the understanding of these wise men who were looking at the stars? Isn't that an incredible thing? That God used their understanding to teach them something very significant about himself. And again, God, he invites all the wrong people. You know? I mean, Mary, that did nothing to deserve this position of being the mother of Jesus. And Joseph, you know, I mean, he was a good dad and protected Jesus and stuff, but there'd have been a lot of people that probably could have done that. And then, I mean, who else was invited? A bunch of dirty shepherds? And now a little bit later after, you know, these magi from the east come. And God invites them to be a part of this whole thing. But these aren't even God's chosen people. These aren't people who, they probably had no idea of the Old Testament. There's a possibility that they at least heard of it or something, because the children of Israel were in exile out in the east. So maybe, possibly, perhaps they knew something, but probably not much. They certainly were not following this God if they were looking in the stars for wisdom. So why did God invite them? I mean, you would think that God would have invited, if he was going to bring somebody in who is learned, who is knowledgeable, it would have been some of the Pharisees, some of the Sadducees, some of the people from the temple, somebody who was his chosen people, somebody who deserved to be there, except there's a problem with that thought. Because did God's people deserve anything? We go back all the way to Abraham, and we look at how Abraham acted and what he did and where he went and how he did things. And, you know, he was a wanderer. He traveled from place to place. And he went to Egypt at one point. And this great man of faith in Egypt was afraid of the Pharaoh because his wife was beautiful. I mean, Abraham's wife, Sarah, was beautiful. And he didn't want to have a problem with this Pharaoh who was very powerful. And so he didn't tell the Pharaoh that Sarah was his wife. And Sarah, being beautiful, ended up in Pharaoh's court. And God had to get involved and straighten out the whole situation, because Abraham had so little faith that God would protect him if he told the truth. So Abraham, the great man of God, was not so faithful all the time. But, you know, Abraham was a smart guy, so he learned, right? No. Because then he went to another place, and he visited a guy called Abimelech, and he was afraid of Abimelech, because Abimelech was also a powerful man. And so he also there did not tell Abimelech that Sarah was his wife, and instead said, she's my sister. And Abimelech took her into his court. And again, God had to get involved to straighten things out, because Abraham did not have the faith to trust that God would provide for him if he told the truth. But don't worry, it gets better, because the children of Abraham are so much better at following God's lead, except that they repeatedly do not. I mean, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, in slavery, they argued with the one that God sent to free them from that slavery. They were upset with him, because when Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, Pharaoh made their work harder for a while, and the people complained against Moses. And then what they were actually doing is complaining against God who sent Moses. So again, great upstanding people. They get into the wilderness and they complain because they don't have something to drink. Instead of asking God for help, they complain that they don't have anything, but God graciously gives them something to drink. Then they run out of food, and they can, instead of asking for food, they complain about not having food, and God again graciously gives them food. But then when they get the manna, it's not enough. They're just tired of manna. So then God graciously gives them quail. He takes them through the wilderness. Their clothes never wear out, and everything is just amazing there, and they still continually turn their back on God. And so the thing is this, is we look at the kings and we, or these kings, again, do you see how that leaks right in there? We don't know this about them, but nevertheless, when we look at these magi that came from the east, and we think, why did God invite them into the Christmas story? Why are they there? They don't deserve it. It should have gone to one of God's chosen people who did deserve it. And we realize, did God's chosen people deserve anything? The entire reason that God had this chosen nation, a nation belonging to him, was this: there would be a people who would receive the revelation of God, that they would receive God's word, and that they would record it, and that they would keep it, and that they would know it, and that they would understand it, so that when the Messiah came, somebody would be there to recognize him. And it worked, sort of. Because when the Magi came to Jerusalem and talked to the king and said, hey, where is this one born king of the Jews? Where did they look for an answer? The Bible. Did they find an answer in the Bible? Yes, it said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And then the wise men then went off to Bethlehem to find the king. And what was Herod's use of that information? When he recognized that someone was born, that this Messiah had come, he knew it was the Messiah because he looked at a messianic prophecy to tell him where this Messiah was going to be. What did he do with that information? He used it to hunt the Messiah down and try to kill him. Well, that's interesting. I'm not sure that was God's intention when he revealed his word to the people. But don't worry, it gets better, right? Oh, no, wait. The people that God called to be his own, when they were confronted by this Messiah, called out, crucify him. How messed up are people? Good thing it's just them, right? I mean, the question is, why are the Magi invited to the stable? Why are they invited to be in the presence of Jesus? You can ask the same thing about each and every single one of us. Why on earth am I invited? I mean, do you know me? I'm a mess. I make more mistakes than things I get right. I constantly try to do what's right, but the things that I'm trying to do are the things that I don't do. And the things that I'm trying not to do, these are the things I keep doing. Sound familiar? This has been a refrain in the lives of Christians forever. Because we can't be good enough. We can't deserve it. But here is what happens. The same God who chose Abraham, not because Abraham was so great, but because our God is merciful. And what mercy is God's love coming in contact with human need. When God's love comes in contact with the need of a person, mercy is the result, and God does things for us that are unbelievable. He took a person who had no identity, no meaning, no purpose, and he said, I will be your meaning and purpose. I will be your God. You will be my person. I will teach you how to live. I will bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. I will be your God. And today we still remember Abraham as this man of faith, this one who followed God, even though does he deserve that? Not completely. All right? And we remember the children of Israel as the people of God. Do they deserve that completely? And we recognize that our God has called us to be his people, to live with him in his kingdom, to worship him and serve him, to be his spokespeople in the world, to serve him and serve the people that he loves. And do we deserve this position? But we receive it because our God is merciful. His love met our need. Our need was that we would be forgiven. Our need was that we would have the righteousness to be able to be in heaven. Our need was all these things, and Jesus came to provide. Now, there are still people out there who have not heard this message. I often tell my high school students, I say, go to school, walk in the hallway, look up and down the hallway while classes, you know, in between classes. Look at all the kids and understand that many, many, many of them don't know. And what are we to do about it? Is there human need? And who bears God's love? We do. God has filled us with his love. And because we love him and because we love the people around us, because God loves those people around us, we brag about God. We brag about God not just because, you know, our God is gracious and loving and merciful and has given us all these things. We definitely do it for those reasons. But we also do it because the rest of the world needs to know. They desperately need to know. And so I encourage you folks, just like Abraham didn't deserve it, but God loved him anyway. Just like Israelites didn't deserve it, but God loved them anyway. Just like the Jewish people in the time of Jesus didn't deserve it, but God loved them anyway. God loves us, and God loves them. And he sends us to share this message of salvation. We who are filled with the love of God, when we come in contact with human weakness, we show God's mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have brought us into this family, that you have made it possible, Lord, through the death and resurrection of your Son, that all people be saved, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to share your love with all the people around us, Lord, because they don't deserve it, but because you love them anyway. All this we pray in your name. Amen.
Evermore will be in Jesus.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Dar forward to give us our life talk.
Good morning. January has been designated Sanctity of Human Life Month ever since the Supreme Court ruled on Roe versus Wade in January of 1973. That's over 50 years ago. In 2022, the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, holding that the U.S. Constitution does not confer a right to abortion, and return to the individual states the authority to regulate any aspect of abortion that federal law does not preempt. This is history, and how our government has chosen to handle the issue of life and abortion. Just a couple of thoughts related to that history as it applies to us as God's people, and how God looks at the value of life. God is the creator of all life and places high value on every human life. Genesis 1, verse 22 and 23 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" Secondly, God provides for humans throughout their lives, as we just confessed in Luther's explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. And finally, additional thought, abortion ends the life of a living yet unborn child that God is creating in the womb of the mother and for a meaningful life in this world. The sanctity of human life should not be celebrated just 1 month a year, but every day, and particularly among us as God's people. Your St. Mark's Life Team was established to uphold and encourage among us that year-round value on human life. We want our monthly encouragement in these life talks to help us all pray for life in all of its stages and be ready to speak up and stand for the value of life the same way God, our Heavenly Father, does. He cared enough for human life that he sent his only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all, so that by faith in him, all might have a new life now and life eternally in heaven. That is another message that we can share. Pastor Bob made that strong encouragement in his sermon this morning. And it certainly shows the value God has on all human life. Let me invite all of us to pray and then take a stand for life the way our God invites us to in his word, and in a world that doesn't value life. Please pray in your individual prayer for these things. Number one, that God's word would be the standard for all life decisions. Secondly, that all abortions would come to an end. There still are around 1 million abortions a year in America, and that's only the ones that are being reported. Think of that. Since Roe v. Wade, over 1 million a year, and that's over 50 million unborn yet living children. Pray also that God would change the hearts of the abortion providers and workers about life and its value, especially for the living and yet unborn. Pray that women with unplanned pregnancies would seek the counsel and support of pro-life ministries like My Life Medical and Resource Center in High Ridge. Pray also that God would intervene and stop the easy and dangerous access to the chemical abortion drug mifepristone that is permeating our culture. 60% of abortions occur now from this drug without any medical oversight and often without any awareness of the dangers. Studies show that more than 1 in 10 women who use this drug will experience serious adverse effects. And women are at least 22 times more likely to experience serious complications than even the FDA's label on the drug claims. And finally, pray that people will come to believe in Jesus and be led to live according to his word. The challenge is great, but our God is greater. Would you pray with me now for life? Heavenly Father, we know the value you place on life. So often as human beings, we go against your values. Enable us to be more strong supporters and prayers for the life that and its sanctity that you desire. Encourage each of us to continue that in our regular prayers. For we know you can do far more than we can even ask or think. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
All right, thank you, Dar. I invite everybody to please stand as we continue with the prayers of the day. Lord, we pray that you would guide us, that we might show the love that you pour into us and to all the people around us. Guide us by your Spirit to share the gospel at all times and when necessary to use words. When words are necessary, give us those words, that all might know you and of your love. Lord, we pray for all those who mourn the loss of Mary Frances Bernhardt, the sister of Paul Hogg, and pray especially that you give comfort and strength to Paul and Betty at this time. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed Calvin and Ann Niesline with 60 years of marriage, and pray you continue to guide them and bless them as they continue to pour into each other and follow where you lead. Lord, we pray you'd be with Mike Connor, who has various health complications. I pray that you'd guide those who are giving him care, give him strength at this time. Lord, we pray in light of the unrest in our society. We pray that there would be peace, that there'd be conversation, that there'd be listening, and that people might care and value all lives of all other people. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Connie, Cindy Ball's sister, and pray for healing of all health complications that she's facing and also comfort at this time after losing her husband, John. Lord, we pray for our state leadership, especially this day. We pray for all the representatives in our state Congress, and especially with Holly Jones, our state representative. Give them wisdom that they might serve all those who are under their charter. All these things we pray in your name, and pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." Thank you.
Could not keep you rising again.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and meet Miss Lauren in the back, and she'll get you where you're going. And then I'd like to invite our principal, Megan Dinas, forward, actually, for a quick announcement.
Good morning. I am going to keep this quick this morning. We have National Lutheran Schools Week coming up in about 2 weeks, and I am going to tell you all about the wonderful things that are happening at St. Mark's then. But today, I would like to invite you. We have extra signs, and these are signs because we are starting enrollment for... Thank you. We are starting enrollment for the coming year, and we just want people to know about our wonderful school and our wonderful early childhood. One of the things we are revealing here is our new logo, which I'll be talking more about during National Lutheran Schools Week. So if you are in town, I would love for you to stop by after the service, after announcements, and grab a sign for your yard. Thank you.
All right, and now I'd like to invite Janine Liebman forward, who's going to tell us about a wonderful Bible study offering here soon.
Okay, so the women's Bible study, ladies' Bible study that we've been having on Monday evenings is going to restart. We took a little break for the holidays, so we're starting tomorrow night, the 12th, and so it's the second and fourth Monday evenings at 7 o'clock. I think we forgot to put the time in the bulletin, but it's 7 o'clock. We're going to try to end, we will for sure end by 8:30 to let you guys out before it gets too late. But the next four studies, so... the two in January, the two in February, are going to be on a study called Overcoming Anxiety. I figured most, if not all of us, deal with anxiety from time to time. It's a great little video, a short video, about 7 to 10 minutes, so plenty of time for us to dig into God's Word and to talk. So I think we have a brief trailer video for you, so please come join us, invite a friend. I've invited a couple people from outside the church too, so please come join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Here's the trailer.
All right, thank you, Janine. Just want to note, if you're interested in that study, again, tomorrow night, that's located in the Asylum, which is also known as a youth room. It's about in the middle of our property, in case you're not familiar. There's some doors kind of in the middle over that direction that you can get to that room. We have a Club 456 event today from noon to 1:30 in the gym. This is serving to help youth in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade reach out to others and get connected and hear the gospel of Jesus. So join us in the gym for fun, food, and Christian fellowship. Tomorrow night, you have an insert in your bulletin kind of saying this, but we are having a Culver's night again. Wonderful fundraising opportunity to support youth who are going to Arizona as a service project this summer. And so that's from 5 to 8 at the Culver's here in Eureka. You can go drive through, you can dine in, whichever is convenient for you, but all of it helps. So please, if you got to eat anyway, so might as well get some yummy Culver's and frozen custard because it's awesome. Let's see here. We have three more quick things. We have a new member class coming up. We shared that this past Sunday as well, but that's coming up at the end of this month. So if you've not yet signed up for that and you're interested, please sign up on our website. We have a door offering for the Guatemala mission trip that's going to be on that Sunday. Sorry, that's what I'm noting. So we have a door offering to further support the team who's going to Guatemala the last Sunday this month. And lastly, yes, we do a Bible class today in here, and I'm going to be continuing on a little bit of some of what we covered last week. And even if you missed last week, that's okay. Come on. We're going to be talking more about God's story, more about kind of good practices as you read God's word, what's some good things to think about. So please join us right here in about 15 minutes, 11 o'clock. Otherwise, thank you for joining us today, and I pray you have a blessed rest of your Sunday. Have a good week.